Poor Thomas. I love Thomas. Today, we hear of sort of the second and third resurrection appearances in the Gospel of John. And it's important to know that because Thomas gets an awfully bad rap for not believing in the second appearance. And we sort of skip over the first one in this reading. The first is in many ways my favorite because it's the one no one believed. This is the one where, and all the Gospels vary a little in some of the details. In this one, Mary Magdalene has gotten up alone to go to the tomb and to mourn her teacher. She gets to the tomb, and Jesus is, of course, not there. And she encounters Jesus in the garden. He tells her to go and tell the rest of his disciples that he will meet them. And she comes back, Mary Magdalene. The Orthodox Church has held on to this role of hers a little bit better than the Western Church. The apostle to the apostles. She comes back excited and exclaiming, "The Lord is risen." And the first thing the other disciples do is go check and make sure she's not lying to them. So, you know, Thomas is really just the latest disciple to not believe that the Lord is risen. Depending on your view of this, he either is at greater fault for not believing that a larger group, or in the politics of that time and that place in history, he's at greater fault for not believing men, because of course their word is more verifiable than women's word. Yeah, there are a few problems here. But I love Thomas for all of that. Not just because he's not the only one, and not just because I think we've sort of maligned him through history as turning him solely into doubting Thomas. I sort of love his audacity. You've sort of made this boastful thing in front of your friends. Well, you can say that, but I won't believe it. I have a checklist. There are things I need to prove. I don't know, maybe that's my engineering parents speaking through me. It happens every now and then. But I also love Thomas for what happens next. Jesus shows up and says, "It's fine. You can doubt. I'm here. You can believe in me. You can trust me." And Thomas responds to that act and lets go of some of his insecurities, some of his incredulity, and professes, "My Lord and my God," something only Mary Magdalene has done so far. And then Thomas sort of disappears. We don't really hear much about him in Acts. He didn't write one of the great letters we've held on to. Thomas, and I think this is part of the problem, we follow the church as it sort of goes west, and Thomas went east. Tradition tells us, and the church that exists tells us, that Thomas went east and founded the earliest churches in India. Thomas's doubt is what we remember here, far away from the greatest parts of Thomas's legacy. There are whole areas of the world that remember Thomas's faith and his witness, his knowledge. Thomas must have had some special knowledge about this, that when you say the Lord is risen, people will think you're crazy, because it's a little crazy to say that. My friend who was dead came back and had dinner with us last night. We start thinking about how to get you into a nice psych unit. That's usually what we think needs to happen. No blame there. But Thomas knew something else. He knew that that was the truth, and he knew that Jesus was more concerned about restoring the relationship he had with his disciples, about building new relationships with new disciples, than he was with our moments of doubt. As great and as sensible as our doubt may be, we have a Lord and a Savior, a risen Christ, who is greater than any of them.
Amen.